Hello, everybody. This is Nick from the Midgar Minute. You're probably wondering why the episode is starting this way, so allow me to explain. A few weeks ago, I was in the direct path of Hurricane Ian. I am happy to report that me and my family are all okay, we are all safe, the house is perfectly fine, we got out very lucky and very fortunate. We got our power and our water restored within a couple days. However, it's only recently that I've gotten internet back in my home. So the reason why there's been a bit of a drought in podcast episodes is because I've had no access to the internet. I am happy to report that that is no longer the case and that we will be right back to recording and uploading episodes on our normal schedule. So enjoy today's episode. It's from a few weeks ago, so we apologize if anything we talk about might be a little outdated, but we'll be back at it real soon with some new episodes and new topics. Anyway, thank you for your patience, everybody. Enjoy the episode.
Ladies and gentlemen,
reunion.
Welcome back.
Reunion.
Welcome back to the reunion of the Midgar Minute podcast. I am Chris, joined as always by my lovely and faithful co-host, Nick. Nick, how are you doing on this fine evening?
I'm doing fantastic. As a matter of fact, I am excited to talk all things Crisis Core today. I'm amazed it's so close. Let's just put it that way. It's right around the corner.
Yeah, we figured it was time that we, you know, because we haven't really talked about Crisis Core Reunion yet. So we're like, you know what, we also were kind of expecting more news at TGS, but there wasn't really anything at all. there was gameplay, but we'll get on to that. But before we get on to anything else, let us please give our thanks to the wonderful, wonderful, amazing, unanimous folks at the Mosey Gang. And who's the Mosey Gang, you might ask? Well, it's the fine folks that pay us as little as $1 a month to help support us and keep us doing what we're doing, even though we're just glad to have you here and we'd be gladly doing it for free. But these nice, nice folks would say otherwise, I guess. those lovely folks being Scott, Kyle, AJ, Danny, Kevin, Jillian, Brienne, Matt, Sam, Charlotte, Cameron, Garrett, Dan M, Ryan, Petros, Matt M, Thios 48, Colton, Tone, and Kimmy. Thank you guys so much.
Awesome.
And goddamn, that list is getting fucking long, isn't it? It's getting really long.
We might have to do like Mosey Gang Member of the Week soon, because it's getting to that point, dog.
Yeah, let's.
But you know what? We're going to stretch it as long as we can.
Yeah, no, if anything, you know, maybe we'll, instead of having it be part of our recording routine, maybe we will separately record it and tack it on there. Because we still want to show our support to you guys. But, I mean, if it grows long enough, then we may have to just be like, thank you guys, and you know who you are. you know? But anyways, if you, dear listener, would like to be added to that list and make that that possible future a possibility, then we have links in the episode description and in our social medias as well. As I guess, well, we're on YouTube now, so that's also in there as well. So feel free if you like, or you know, as always, we're just glad that you're here listening to us ramble about a thing that we like. So speaking of which, Crisis Core, we like it, we love it. We
are they gonna pull a remake? Let's just get right down to the brass tacks here.
Yeah, that is a sort of our angle for this episode, and. You know, I feel like the common consensus as far as up until the date of recording this episode was kind of like, no, they're doing a one-to-one, you know, an actual sort of remake of the game, or a remaster, I guess would be the technical term.
Arena. But
are they, though? Because there is a lot of evidence out there, I think, from other FF7 things that we've seen recently that, you know, Zack is becoming increasingly important in the overall narrative of what we're currently going through right now. So I feel like, you know, it does make sense to me that they would reintroduce Crisis Core, because, you know, mind you, this is a game that has not been easily available to play since it came out on the PSP.
No, this you is know, gonna and be of course, my first everyone knows. Real time playing it. Honestly, this is going to be my first real time playing it. Lifelong yeah, FF7 fan. You and gonna be my first most time other
people, because I owned a PSP and I played it on the PSP back in the day, and you know it always felt like a travesty to me that I was like, what, this game that seems to be very universally loved. Out of all the compilation material that we got, it's easily the most loved and the most fondly remembered one. I mean, I guess aside maybe from Advent Children, but even then, people are like, "Ah, it's not the greatest thing, but it looks cool." You know, and we've you know, for those of you who may be joining us at this point, we have covered the story of Crisis Core in previous episodes, so if you want to go check those out and find our opinions about what the actual story of how we feel about the story of Crisis Core, you're more than welcome to go ahead and listen to that, and then come back here, and you know, because we're going to talk about stuff. And if you don't know Crisis Core story stuff, then well, I mean, I don't know how you've made it this far, in because it's pretty much I mean, if you played Remake, you pretty much are experiencing the culmination of the events of that game. But as we have discussed and as we have seen before, they're doing something different with good old Zack the Puppy, and we still don't know what that is. It keeps me up at night thinking about it, because I'm like, we out of all the things that we've seen so far, still don't understand what the hell's going on. But with Crisis Core getting a remaster/remake thing, it does raise a lot of questions as to, like, okay, well, is this just to reintroduce people to Zack? Because, you know, if you didn't play Crisis Core originally, like, you played, like, OG, for instance, and that was the only thing that you played, you're not really going to know who the fuck Zack is, because he was mostly, like, all the cutscenes and stuff with him were pretty short. Like, he was barely, like, you knew that he was the guy that Zack was, that Cloud was trying to be and emulate, but they didn't really ever delve into his character and, like, who is this dude? And I feel like that's what the original Crisis Core was meant to do, mm-hmm. and sort of give some more texture and some more, you know, fill in the blanks with the story of FF7's greater overall narrative. And I think it does a really good job of doing that, aside from, you know, what you may what your opinions may be on our good old pal Genesis, who also may be taking, you know, may have a renewed reason to exist in this new narrative that we're in now, because I still think that Genesis, and I mean, I had thought for quite a while, because once I saw that they were reintroducing stuff and being like, oh, we're changing Crisis Core, huh? So, or like, and we got the Kunsel name drop, and I'm like, are we gonna, and of course, you know, we've talked about Cisne, and good God, I'm so glad that they showed her off in that most recent trailer.
It's good to see what she would look like in these more updated models, this most updated sort of visuals. And it, you know, we all knew any character that they're going to showcase is going to look great. I'm sure we're going to be equally as happy when we see the likes of Sid and Vincent and them. I'll say this about Crisis Core. You know, there's a lot of talks of timelines recently in Final Fantasy VII. Mm-hmm. And no matter how you feel about them, just be happy that you're on the timeline where Dirge of Cerberus got a 3-hour DLC and Crisis Core got the true remaster. I think it's a signal for how much each of those compilation titles were beloved, like you brought up before.
I think, honestly, now that I've seen that they're doing this for Crisis Core, I could totally see them doing this for Dirge in the future, when in between the gap between Rebirth and whatever the third part is.
I feel like Dirge, totally, but I feel like Dirge, I feel like with where they're going with Remake, is that there's, like, the reason why you could go back to Crisis Core is because very little about the past was changed. I feel like where we're going, the future is going to be so complete. The future outcome will be so completely different from OG, I believe,
that I'm not sure a Dirge remaster would work how the Crisis Core would. Because it's post-Singularity, right? You have two Singularity events. You have Zack surviving the last stand, and you have Sephiroth piercing the veil on the end of the highway. Like, those are kind of your two time Singularity events, those two exact events. So seeing that Dirge happens after both of those events, I would struggle to believe that it's going to turn out the same.
It would have any sort of reason to be like, hey, guys, here's this whole other thing that is like a, you know, like, because Crisis Core getting a remake or a remaster, it makes a lot more sense. Like, just, and yeah, narratively speaking, like you're saying, and, you know, is sort of the thing that, I mean, I think was the originator of, like, man, we're like, I mean, out of all the times that we've seen the Nibelheim incident throughout the history of FF7 stuff, this is the one that, like, made the most, like, I think was the most impactful, because we're seeing it, you know, we're getting to know Zack as a character and how he played into all that stuff. And then I'm still on the fence about how much I like the Genesis inclusion in that stuff, and basically him being the one that sort of, or at least the way that it was portrayed to me and the way that I looked at it, was that he was the one that sort of pushed Sephiroth over the edge by sort of like being like, yeah, you are a fucking monster and you're a piece of shit and you were grown in a test tube just like all these other things. And like, I think within the confines of Crisis Core and the story that it's telling there, I think it makes sense. But in the greater implications on the rest of the Final Fantasy VII story, I'm not so sold on it yet, but I think it would be a really good time to reintroduce Genesis and have him be something more than just like, who are you besides Sephiroth's friend? But then you're also like, kind of like, you want to surpass him and be, he wants to be the hero, right? And that's his whole thing, and that's what lends him to go off the deep end as well. Well, that and, you know, the Mako poisoning, but, or the cellular degradation, I should say, which we know is a thing that is also coming back. So I think all the Crisis Core coming back in this form makes a lot of sense. But I guess what the real meat and potatoes of what we want to talk about is it going to be a one-to-one?
Well, ultimately, we're wondering, is it going to pull, quote-unquote, pull a remake? And the scene that it all points to is The Last Stand. What version of The Last Stand are we going to see? Are we going to see Zack get mowed down? Or are we going to see Zack survive? And then, like, that's why I really believe that for 99% of the game, it's going to, this is my personal prediction, 99% of the game, going to stay mostly the same. Probably some little tweaks here and there, if anything. Maybe some little clues as to what might be coming. But going to mostly stay the same. I think what you're going to see happen is, boom, we get hit with the Last Stand scene. We see Zack survive. And then we're going to finally see a little bit of what comes after that. There's this blank time of, okay, Zack survived and he makes it back to Aerith's church. I actually think in the way Integrate sort of introduced those post-credit scenes, I think Reunion, upon its completion, is going to fill in some of that gap between him bringing Cloud back to Midgar and making it to Aerith's church. Now, additionally, you brought up Genesis, and like, this is actually the stuff that really excites me. Here's the thing. Like it or not, Genesis is a big part of the compilation, because he's not just in Crisis Core, which is like, quote unquote, the beginning. You fast forward, he's the very last shot in Dirge. He is the final shot on the timeline. So they've always had these bigger plans for Genesis. They've always kind of had this a bigger picture idea about him. So right now, like, you bring up that whole idea, you know, introducing Crisis Core, that Genesis was really the one to kind of push Sephiroth over the edge and push his curiosity and tell him to look into things. And there's a part of that that feels a little flat, because when we get to like a lot of the climaxes in Final Fantasy VII, be it the ending scene of OG or the final scene of Advent Children, Genesis is absolutely nowhere to be seen. I was gonna say, with this new trilogy and them, like you said, getting a chance to reintroduce him, I do think we're going to see not just that gap of time missing for Zack, But if you recall in Base Crisis Core, or OG Crisis Core, I suppose we should call it now.
Yeah.
Vice and Nero come to pick Genesis up, and then it's just blank. Blank, empty timeline from there to that scene of Dirge. So I actually think, imagine we see them, right? Post-credit scene, game's over. Post-credit scene, you see Nero and you see Vice bring Genesis into Deep Ground, and fast forward, and now who do you see Genesis interacting with? Whatever the hell they made Sonon out to be, right?
Right.
And now Integrate and Crisis Core Reunion are connected. I don't know. I just think a lot of what we're going to see is going to be focused on Zack and Genesis in the post-credit scenes, filling in the blanks between the mysteries in Remake and the original ending of Crisis Core.
Yeah, I think, and what I was going to say before was that kind of the what you were describing about, you know, what, you know, Genesis and whole and all of his stuff and how he sort of was like almost an afterthought, even though they sort of put him at the forefront of a lot of these, you know, being so like tightly connected with the greater narrative. Mm-hmm. And what is the biggest thing that I said that I didn't like about Dirge was that Deep Ground felt like it was just, they were stapled on and I don't even care about these characters because they just showed up. Right. And that's why I feel like Genesis also has that same sort of thing. But when we look at Intergrade and, or Intermission, I should say, and we see that the reintroduction of Deep Ground and having them be a, something that is established very early on, to me, is a good sign and be like, oh, so they can actually, in this new narrative that we are a part of right now, they can sort of flesh out these characters and make them more believable in the sense of, you know, oh, like, okay, this makes sense and it doesn't feel like you just needed a bad guy for this game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like with, if, you know, Genesis is coming back in such a way, he could absolutely do that. But, you know, one thing I will say is that if they're going to do something like that, they're being very, very coy about it, because all of the material that we've seen thus far, and mind you, this game comes out in like 3 months.
Yep.
So it's pretty soon. So I don't think we'll probably see it. We'll maybe get like a, maybe one more trailer and that's it.
And that's it. Well, I think a lot of it, go ahead.
I hope that they don't do the remake thing of like, if they are going to do something like that, that they sort of show their hand before the game comes out. Because I would much prefer them to be like, you know, because everything we've seen thus far is stuff that is familiar. All the cutscenes, even from the original game, are digitally upscaled and they all look fantastic. And it, everything looks like, even the combat, it does look improved. And from what I've seen, because at this point, people have had a chance to play the game, or at least a little bit of it. And the impressions that I've heard from people that have actually played it thus far, it's like, yeah, it does feel a little bit more modernized. And I do feel good about that, because I do remember playing it back, OG Crisis Core back in the day, and the combat was definitely not deep, but it also, it was a portable game. So it was like something that needed to not be too in depth, right? And it was like, you can have it be a lot more narrative focused than you can have all the, you know, the mini games and the materia fusion stuff. And I mean, even like the mission system in that game, where it was like, okay, you can, you know, basically selecting a mission from the menu and being like, all right, you're going to play this mission. And it was all designed around being a portable game. So I feel like, I hope that they sort of remedy some of that, because now it is more like of a console game now, and they treat it a bit more like a console game than a portable game, you know. And, you know, I, from what I can tell, a lot of that stuff is still in there, in terms of like the materia fusion stuff, and you have like loadouts for materia and things like that. And it does seem to be, if you're just looking at it from a visual sense, it does seem like they are melding the two, like the original way that Crisis Core was and sort of Remake. I mean, I saw screenshots of the menu in Crisis Core Reunion, and it looks exactly the same as remakes like Menu, like pause screen menu and all that stuff. It all seems, you know, it seems like they're sort of trying to meld these things and have it be contained. So, which honestly, it may be something that I am very notorious for on this on this podcast, of reading too much into seemingly benign things. But I mean, it is, I would say it's pretty obvious at this point that they are trying to bring this, all this stuff in together. And, you know, the fact that not a lot of people played Crisis Core because, you know, no one had a PSP, well, and I don't blame them, you know, that they didn't want to watch Spider-Man 2 on a UMD, on a, you know, before video iPods and stuff existed. But yeah, I feel like there is a lot of room here for them to make improvements on not just the visual and some of the gameplay stuff, but just the pacing of the game. I felt the pacing was also really weird and odd. And everything that I've seen thus far, it may also seem to be a little too close because even some of the cutscenes that we've seen, like in the trailer, the new trailer and the initial one, it does seem like they are sticking to, it does seem like line for line, at least with the stuff that we've seen. So again, I feel like if they are going to pull some sort of sneaky stuff at the very end, I think it would be at the very end of the game. It doesn't seem to me like they're going to be doing the remake thing of, you know, putting little breadcrumbs throughout and sort of like giving you little hints of like, oh, is it the same? I mean, again, could be totally wrong, but based off of everything that I've seen thus far, it does seem a lot more of a one-to-one sort of retelling of the story of Crisis Core. And I do think that there is plenty of opportunity for them to sort of make this new thing work with what we have now and, you know, what the deal with Zack is. And honestly, I do like the idea of them doing that in this game. I mean, I don't know. But if you know, if what Kitase said was correct, and that, you know, you could play Rebirth without having played anything else before, you know, it does seem a little weird that if they were going to do stuff like that, that they would put, you know what I mean, that they would put stuff in here that is like, oh, I mean, it's probably not going to be anything major. At least I wouldn't think so. But I don't know. Now that I think about it, I'm not sure how I would feel if they put something in. I mean, obviously, I'm going to play Crisis Core Reunion, and you're going to play it, and probably everyone listening to this is going to play it. But, you know, if it is that thing of they're trying to keep those stories more self-contained, does it lend itself to doing that sort of thing where we have fill in that blank? Because I do like the fact or the possibility that it could do that, so that they are not taking away from what Rebirth is doing, right? Because eventually when Zack shows up in Rebirth in whatever form that he does, they will probably at some point have to be like, well, how did you get here? What's going on? Unless Zack is the other, like, co-protagonist of Rebirth, and that we play through that stuff in that game, which would also be cool, and I kind of am leaning more towards that. I want that to be how it is, instead of just being, like, shown it at the end of this game, but I don't know. I also don't, like, I'd be fine if Crisis Core Reunion was just, it's just a prettier, nicer version of Crisis Core, and that's it, right? Like, at the end of the day, I personally would not mind that too much, because I still think it is a game that is worth playing and is, you know, a story that's worth seeing and experiencing. I feel like it would leave it up too much for, like, all right, well, if they wanted to do other stuff, then it's like, you know, it would, if they basically turned Crisis Core Reunion into, like, required reading. I mean, even though I feel like it is already, kind of, honestly.
It's, it's, I, I can't help but think it's going to be. I mean, they roped it in with the naming scheme. They called it Reunion. That's not an accident. I think one of the keys, I think, you know, you brought up a lot of interesting points that I'll go in depth on here. But let's keep in mind something. I can't remember if it's Nomura or Kitase who said it, that said, oh, no. The past hasn't changed. You know, very clearly, the past hasn't changed. This is what leads me to look at The Last Stand, right? Because that's the, well, let's just say, it's the, like, the one part of Crisis Core that Remake really covered. Yeah, we mentioned Kunsel, right. But it's one of the canonical parts of Crisis Core, the only part that we flash back to, and we saw a direct change in that outcome. So, right. when they say the past hasn't changed, to me that means everything, again, I know I said this earlier in the podcast, but that means everything before that moment. Now, moving on with that, you brought up the marketing, how Remake's marketing was very clear. If you knew what to look for and knew what you were looking at, it's very clear things are going to be very different. Not maybe not very different, but that definitely were
going
to be
like
some...
It wasn't going to be, it wasn't going to be exactly like the same story that we're familiar with.
Yeah, it was very clear that there were going to be some new elements at play. The Whispers were right there. In Cloud and Aerith's initial meeting in the trailer, they show you the Whispers. You see Sephiroth stab Barret. You know, they make it very clear that it's going to be different. You're not getting any of that with Reunion. Reunion is showing you, like you said, that sort of shot for shot, one for one. But then again, we have to keep in mind what was different about Remake. The whole Whisper saga. Well, the Whisper saga doesn't go beyond Zack's Last Stand. That's the nexus of it. So, of course, nothing before that is going to be different, you know? So I really think we're going to be along for the same old ride, and that final act is going to blow our lids off. Because, again, you mentioned that the interface now matches Remake. So we have the naming scheme matching Remake. We have the user interface matching Remake. We have the graphics, essentially, matching Remake. We have, I could just leave it at that. There seems to be a concerted effort to making this a true part of the FF7 trilogy. Sort of like the true prologue. Like when you read a book and there's that prologue section, this is the prologue section. You know, I really feel like that's what the angle here is.
Yeah, and it's, and like, you know, as we were saying before, like the story of Crisis Core and Zack's story and everything is not only sort of crucial to the greater FF7 plot, but, you know, I mean, obviously Cloud, you know, his whole entire being is, you know, we know that is sort of copied over, I guess, for lack of a better term, from Zack, and that is the person he is trying to emulate. And, you know, that's why I do think, regardless of what we get at the end of this game, it is very important that they keep Zack very present in our minds. Aside from, obviously, all the stuff in Remake and Intermission that we saw of, like, obviously he's going to have a part to play in future events. You know, I just think, you know, as I was watching the trailer and sort of reliving, you know, remembering all that when we were talking about it and my personal memories with it, I'm like, man, it's by far the most important piece of compilation material, by far.
100%. And Advent Children's the only one that could really compare, I would say.
Right. And then also, you also got to think of, you know, we have Zack, you know, we've talked about Zack and Genesis, and I think that they are important. But one of my favorite parts of Crisis Core that I ended up appreciating a lot more when we covered it last time was the stuff with Sephiroth. And all, like, seeing his journey from being, like, what he was, you know, before all the stuff that we knew him as, like, this, you know, this monster or whatever, and him sort of being, like, a normal guy, quote-unquote, that, you know, he had friends, he had, you know, he had a life.
He had hangouts.
To some degree. You know, he wasn't just an attack dog that, even though I think before Crisis kind of painted him in that way, which I also think of, like, well, yeah, you know, he's, like, this super strong dude that no one can beat, really, except for Cloud, which, you know, is the way that whole scene in Crisis Core of that whole, the showdown there, which, again, you know, when we think of the Niflheim incident before then, all we really had was OG, FF7, and that was it. And it wasn't, you know, it did the best it could at showing that stuff. But I feel like adding that, you know, that extra layer of graphical fidelity adds so much to it. And, you know, I mean, voice acting, you know, whatever your opinions may be on the original voice acting of Crisis Core or even the new sort of thing, that is another thing that I do want to touch on a little bit, because I have heard a lot of people being like, man, the English voice acting in this sounds really rough. And I would tend to agree, and I don't want to throw any shade towards any of the voice actors involved, because I think what it really comes down to is that they're probably being directed to deliver things in the exact same way that they were back then. Because as far as I know at this point, it's all new actors. It's all the, like Aerith is being voiced by Brianna White in this one, and it's all the remake actors that we have seen for all these characters thus far, that are returning ones at least. I'm not sure so much about Angeal and Genesis and those guys. I'm assuming that they have new voice actors, but they kind of sounded similar. So at first I had thought that they were just lifting the voice lines from the original game, but then this most recent trailer that we got, I was like, oh well, Zack is definitely being voiced by the new Zack voice actor. And I'm reluctant to say that I don't like him, because I do like the stuff that we saw of him in Remake and Intermission. I really like the stuff that we saw, and I'm like, oh, it's different, but it's has its own charm a little bit in its own way. But I will admit, when I was watching the most recent trailer, I was like, I wasn't as sold on it. Again, no disrespect or anything to the voice talent in any of these games, but I think because I've been a little bit spoiled by the Remake's voice cast and the excellent job that they did, and you know, just gaming in general, because you got to remember, original Crisis Core came out in what, 2006, 2007,
mm-hmm.
And the state of voice acting in video games, especially ones that come from Japan, was pretty low, I would say. I mean, say, you know, you think of, you know, the Final Fantasy games that came out prior to Crisis Core that had voice acting. You have, you know, you have Final Fantasy X, which, you know, I think I love FF10's voice acting, but in the way of, like, it is kind of weird and hokey and a lot of, like, it's got charm, let's say, and it's something that you can look back upon and be like, oh yeah, that's how things were back then, you know, and had that sort of, you know, like Resident Evil sort of level of charm where you're like, oh, it's stilted and weird, but there was still, I mean, there were parts in Crisis Core that I was fond of, and is, I think, was the moment when I was like, I'm not sure how I feel about this new Zack voice actor, was that, spoilers for Crisis Core, by the way, when Angeal kills his mother and Zack confronts him and he's, you know, what are you doing, Angeal? Like, that whole scene was one of my favorites of that entire game, and then they showed that scene in this new trailer, and I was like, oh, it doesn't hit right. Doesn't hit the same for me personally. But I think I'm going a little bit too far. I think I'm spending a little too much time, because, you know, I am going to withhold my judgments until I've played the game and have listened to this guy talk for several hours.
Well,
and
that's how what I think might be throwing some people off, is we got to remember this is a Zack that's technically, it's hard. Actually, no, never mind. I take it back. Actually, no, I don't take it back. No, I don't take it back. So yeah, that's right. This is a Zack that's like 5 years younger than the Remake Integrate Zack. I think what the voice direction is that might be throwing it off is like, hey, make him sound like a kid. You know, we always see adult Zack. We always see like 21-year-old buff.
I mean, yeah, if you think
seasoned,
about
scarred Zack. When it's like, when this game starts, Zack's like, isn't he like 16?
Yeah, he is super young.
He's a baby.
You know,
and
if you think about it,
that's the angle.
Maybe, yeah, once, because, you know, in the course of Crisis Core, there is a little bit of a time progression. Like, after Nibelheim, there's, before Nibelheim even, there's a pretty big time jump. Like, after, spoilers, after Angeal dies, there is that little bit of a time jump. Oh, no. I don't feel too bad saying that. Although, I guess, you know, because we were talking about all these other characters and all this other stuff. A character I would love to see come back would be Angeal, in some way. Like, I don't think he's going to come back in the way that, like, Zack has come back, in the, you know, in the remake narrative that we have now, but I would love to see Angeal just come up in some sort of way, because I feel like Angeal was, like, such a key character that I feel like didn't really have too much going on in Crisis Core, or at least that's how I felt, is that, you know, he obviously is Zack's mentor, and, you know, it's very important to him, and is obviously the guy he got the Buster Sword from, but, you know, I feel like a lot of Crisis Core was centered more around Zack and Genesis and Sephiroth, which, I mean, is, you know, I get it, right? Totally, obviously understand why that is the way it is. But I feel like Angeal was just kind of like, hey, yeah, I'm the mentor guy who is going to make a basically, you know, turn Zack into, you know, the person that we know him to be in some way. Like, through his death, he sort of is like, all right, well, because if you remember in OG Crisis Core, after that whole scene, and we do have that time jump, and then, you know, he's, you know, his hair is longer and he's got like the scar on his face. And, you know, he's, you know, that's when he, I think the first time he utters the whole, you know, remember your dreams and all that stuff, embrace your dreams and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is a really cool scene and is like a really good way for them to sort of show like, okay, this is Zack Prime that we're seeing right now. And then shortly after that, that's, you know, right before the Nibelheim stuff and. But, you know, I just think that in this whole, the whole story of Crisis Core, I feel like Angeal gets the shortest end of the stick because he kind of just, I don't know, he's like, he's there, and then he's like, you know, oh, you know, Genesis is going crazy, I guess I'm gonna go crazy too now, and that, and I just feel like they don't explore him a lot, and if they were to add stuff to this game, I would honestly kind of hope, because we didn't really mention any of this because we're talking about the ending, if they were going to add stuff, I kind of hope that they maybe would add some more narrative stuff, because this would be the perfect time for them to do so, you know, aside from having stuff that leads into Rebirth and all that stuff.
The whole ending post credits is going to be a roller coaster ride, bro. I'm telling
you. Yeah, and I honestly didn't have that feeling for a while, but I feel like I feel like once, you know, I see like that most recent trailer that came out, and that it does at least on the surface seem like it is going to be exactly the same, in terms of the events that happen.
It's like, it made me more suspicious. Chris, the past hasn't been changed.
Yeah, and you mentioning that to me also kind of sold me of like, oh, right, yeah, so everything,
because they can't possibly be talking about The Last Stand, right? So, because I spoke to a buddy of mine, and like, well, don't they mean like before the end of the highway? I'm like, no, then it wouldn't make sense, because they clearly changed The Last Stand, so it would have to be everything before that.
Yeah, and then everything after that is what, you know, would, if there was going to be any difference, right? Or,
well,
any,
think about Yuffie. Isn't Yuffie evidence of the difference as well? In some ways, I don't know. She wasn't Midgar.
I mean,
in OG.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, and I mean, it definitely, it also, again, doesn't help that we don't know, like, what the actual implications are, and like, I'm not expecting Crisis Core Reunion to give that sort of like and have that be a thing of like, oh, this is where they're going with it. Like, I, if anything,
bro,
I'm expecting a little bit more context, and that's probably the most we can hope for.
Never mind. I got excited about a thing that's most certainly not going to happen.
Well, no, please.
I will share with it. So if we're wrong and it turns out they pull a remake from like square one, then maybe when we go to Wutai, we'll see why Yuffie's dad was arrested.
Yeah.
Because that's not in the original either. That was like a tick in Integrid where it's like, huh? He's not supposed to be in jail.
Like, yeah, he's just a drunk asshole. That's all. He's like, I don't want to talk about him. He's kind of an idiot. No one likes him. But he's still the leader.
Well, Sonin likes him.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was going to say he's biased, but I feel like Yuffie would be more biased, but she hates him the most.
Well, she hates him because he bent the knee to Midgar, and he's letting the shinobi lifestyle die. And they're like,
right,
in a sense, Midgarizing, if you could say that.
Yuffie, and even when we see Yuffie in Crisis Core, she is very adamant about, like, you guys suck. We're the best. You know, she's very much...
Hashtag and, you know, nationalist Yuffie.
Yeah, and you know, we do see that a little bit in Intermission. Oh, yeah. You know, when she's just like, oh, man, this place fucking stinks. You all suck. And then
you foreigners you see that, and your weak jaws.
Yeah, like, we do see that little bit of an arc for her where she's like, oh, like, these are still just people. You know, dude, because she's been insulated in her own community for so long.
Fucking Avalanche refers to Wutais as W's. Could you imagine doing that with, like, any group in the real world?
Yeah.
And just, like, using the front letter? Oh, I don't mess with those W's. It's like, woo!
And then, you know, I'm sure
you're
a
time,
you know,
at Thanksgiving.
At least she never went like, oh, you fucking M's.
Yeah, fucking which is M's. Funny because W and M, like, it's the same thing, just upside down. Mirror reflection of one another, perhaps?
We're all the same. It's only really, you know, down to a certain level where we're different and, you know, the cultures that we're raised in, but... We're still all just people, right? We all have feelings. We all have emotions and opinions,
and some all, of them are and right, we all and some love materia, and we all love materia, right?
We all love materia. That's the great, you know. People say that unifier. Music is the great equalizer, but I think materia is the true great equalizer, and that we all get. I was going to go in a really gross direction with that, but you know, we'll just. We'll keep moving on forward here. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if... Because, like, I don't know how I would feel necessarily if they do start meddling with things. But again, when I think about Remake and all the stuff that they did there and how much I loved all of that stuff... and I'm not saying in a way of, like, they're going to change, like, huge narrative things, but... You know, a little bit, maybe they'll add some more dialogue scenes or things like that where it doesn't
bonus
have to be,
scenes.
You know, big.
Bonus scenes.
I'm not talking anything like a big set piece or anything
I'll tell you this. Square does this with Kingdom Hearts all the time. When they remaster a Kingdom Hearts game, they always add cutscenes. Not anything that mixes up the story, not anything that. Just things that add depth. To the story.
Yeah, that's the only thing that I feel like that I would be looking for out of this game,
right.
Aside from any potential stuff for the future, but, you know, the fact that they had to sort of operate within their limitations of what, you know, they could include on a UMD disc, you know, it's definitely, but it's, again, it's one of those things where it's kind of hard to tell because everything so far that we've seen is pretty much, I mean, the fact that they're even using the old, you know, Advent Children style cutscenes is to me, like, that threw me for a loop of like, oh, like, they're just, okay. I mean, like, I get it. I get why they're not remaking those because those cutscenes looked great back then, you know? I mean, I watched...
And they look great still.
I still watch the Angeal Genesis Sephiroth fight. Like, every couple of months, like, I'll load it up on YouTube and watch it and be like, man, this shit looks so good. And this was, like, 20 years ago, almost.
It was a PSP.
Yeah. Oh, man, on that tiny-ass screen? Oh, boy. It looks fucking great. But now that we...
Imagine, dude, I just want you to imagine being one of the animators and you make it on, like, this advanced next-level PC and everyone in Square, like, gets around and watches it on, like, the big monitor and they're like, bro, you guys made the sickest fight scene in our company's history. Now, and then when it's finally published, screen. It's on this tiny little screen, like, oh, God.
But hey, I mean, if anything, it sort of... because the only other way that people could play Crisis Core up until this point would have been through emulation, and
a lot of those emulators are rough.
Pretty,
man.
Rough.
That's the
because
thing.
Yeah, and then especially, I mean, just the improvement of the in-game models for this, the for Reunion, it brings it to that next level to me of like, okay, because like, you know, though it didn't look that bad, you know, it looked you know, the original Crisis Core was basically, I would say, it was on par with like FF10 in terms of like how it looked. At least in terms of the in-game stuff, maybe a little bit more sort of compromised because of the PSP hardware. But yeah, I mean, it's so I'm so conflicted in terms of what I want from this game, because I like I said at the very top, is like if this ends up being just 1-to-1 and no major changes. Not even any stuff at the end. Like, if it's the same ending and everything, I still would be pleased with that.
I will still be super satisfied. Yeah, let's go on record there. If they go shot for shot, nothing's different, I'll still be a happy customer. Because at the end of the day, I never played Crisis Core.
Yeah,
I've always just been a YouTube cutscene douchebag. But that's where I've been at.
You know, and that's, yeah, for I feel like that's the case for a lot of people. And, you know... That's that whole end scene of Crisis Core when, you know, Zack dies and, you know, Cloud, you know, is covered in his blood and is, you know, I am your living legacy. Like, that scene is phenomenal. And for up until...
Yeah, you can't take that away from view.
Right. That's the part where I'm like, if they get rid of that scene...
I have come crashing down to earth.
That feeling you're feeling is, I'm assuming, is the feeling that people felt at the end of Remake, where they're like, oh, he's alive, so does that mean that that scene is worthless now and doesn't mean anything? And, I mean, will always be of the opinion that no matter what, you know, you can always enjoy the original thing, even if you don't like the new thing or the direction that it's going in, you know? So, I do think that
No, it's all going to be saved for post-credit. Honestly, yeah. It's all going to be saved for post-credit.
I mean, I think that if they were going to add stuff.
If you have a first-time player, they need to see that scene.
Yeah.
No, I've changed my tune.
Like, they need they need to see it.
It's only taken 45 minutes, but I've changed my tune.
Like, they need to see... I think it's very important that that's it. Because that scene is pretty... To me, was pretty instrumental in being like, oh, okay... Like, I get it now. Like, even though Cloud, you know, goes a little bit crazy and loses his mind a little bit, that is at the core of what he, like, who he is after that whole thing, right? Like, he is sort of...
Gee, is that why they called it Crisis Core?
Maybe. it's, you know, I mean, if you think about it, like, this whole story is, like, the core of... Final Fantasy VII, in a lot of ways.
But yeah, you see, it's both, it's Sephiroth's tipping point and Cloud's.
Yeah, and like, well, this is like the
it's
true...
It's your main hero and villains shaping them. They're both shaping, it's funny, in a lot of ways, like, phew, damn.
Yep.
Does Zack shape Cloud in the way Genesis perhaps shapes Sephiroth?
I wouldn't say it's
not in
the exact
way,
same
but like
way, but
a similar relationship.
Yeah, I would feel pretty comfortable saying that. That, yeah, like, you know, because I think about it, you know, I don't really, I would have to go back and well, I guess at this point, I think I would probably just wait until the game comes out. But from what I remember, like, Genesis sort of, you know, going through the cellular degradation and... you know, going crazy and making clones of himself and all that stuff was kind of the thing that started Sephiroth on the path of, like, what am I really? What is my actual purpose? And where did I come from? And all these things that it's, at least the way I remember being portrayed, is that he didn't really consider a lot of this stuff before that point. You know, like, maybe he thought about it once in a while, but it wasn't something that was sort of being shoved in his face. You know? Because he probably was just like, alright, well, I'm a kick-ass warrior guy, and everybody loves me, and, you know, I may not be... You know, he didn't seem like he was ever really, like, about that stuff. You know, he didn't... he doesn't have that kind of an ego, but... eventually, I guess he kind of does in a certain way, where he goes from not really having much of an ego to being like, I'm going to ride the planet into the star system and, you know, all this stuff. But, you know, as we sort of discussed a little bit on our Genova Sephiroth episode a few weeks ago, you know, is this stuff that he was even feeling, or is this sort of like... him being amplified, is his thoughts and feelings being amplified by Genova, and, you know, in this case, you know, Genesis also sort of poking and prodding him a little bit, because he never really seemed, you know, like, we see a little bit when he's fighting Genesis in that cutscene that, you know, he's definitely a little, like, he's sure of himself, but he's not, like, overconfident or... You know, like Genesis...
Oh, no, he has to exert effort, that's for sure.
Yeah, like Genesis is definitely trying very hard. He's trying hard to be, you know, he wants to be the new hero.
He is the try-hard of the two.
You know, and is definitely, like, a little bit butthurt about being, like, living in the shadow of Sephiroth and all that stuff. And who knows, maybe Genesis, you know, maybe his intentions with... everything that he does and all that stuff that he says to Sephiroth is not in the interest of bettering him, but kind of like you said, of like, oh, I want to fuck this dude up. You know, I want to wreck his mind and make him doubt himself and where he comes from and like what he is all about, which he pretty much does. And to be honest, thinking about it now, makes a lot of that stuff at Nibelheim make a lot more sense, actually, when you look at it from that perspective of like, oh, he's trying to deconstruct Sephiroth. And, you know, like, he at a certain point Genesis also goes from being like, I want to be the next Sephiroth, to being like, I'm not even quite sure, actually, because I don't feel like Genesis never really properly explains himself, other than he's like, you know, shit is crazy and we're gonna die anyway, so I kind of want to do some crazy shit before I die. But then you take into consideration all of the Dirge stuff and things like that, and I wonder, and we did kind of touch on it before, but in original Crisis Core, when, you know, Genesis is being carried away by some shadowy figures, it is really... I only ever found out that that was supposed to be Nero and Vice, I think, through a wiki page. Like, it's never really explicitly sort of mentioned or shown that it is them. I think we were literally looking up... when we were covering Crisis Core, I was, like, doing research on it and saw that, like, oh, that was supposed to be them. But I think it's... I thought that they maybe could have been... because I think the in-game models were just like, you know, their faces were covered in shadow and they both looked like clones of Genesis, kind of. And it was kind of, yeah, it was ambiguous. But you knew that that Genesis wasn't really dead, per se. Even though that was supposed to be his, like, death scene. And then, you know, these guys come along and take him somewhere, which we still don't know where that is. My belief is that Genesis is also hanging out in the basement of Shinra Tower somewhere.
100%.
You know, he's kind of been... And then even in Dirge, I feel like... because he comes back and... because like that scene that we see him with, like, Gackt and everything... that was him coming back to revive Vice, right? and being like, oh, there's more for us to do here, brother, or something, he says, or something like that. So, yeah, I mean, if they could in any way, and I'm sure that if it is not addressed in Crisis Core, I feel like it will be addressed in Rebirth or whatever the third game is. Because you got to remember, we still have a whole ass other game to get, like, a lot of the sort of the blanks filled in. And I don't want to put too much pressure on Crisis Core Reunion as a game and, like, what it's trying to do, you know? Like, I think that, you know, it being just another, like, a remastered Crisis Core is enough. It doesn't need to have all this other... It doesn't have to have all these other responsibilities. It
doesn't need all the bells and whistles.
Right, right. And it's, like, just the fact that it is now going to be available on, like, every platform and everyone's going to be able to play it and experience it is enough for me. But that...
I would say so.
But I also wouldn't be mad if they spiced it up a little bit with some extra stuff. Even like we were saying, extra scenes, extra dialogue, just a little bit of, yeah, a little bit of extra texture and depth there that I feel like was lacking because they only could do so much, you know? But what is there is definitely worth it in every regard. And it almost, you know, me desiring and wanting there to be extra stuff in here, it makes me feel bad almost. It makes me feel like the way media is now, you know, with a lot of things of like things have to be constantly sort of intertwined and doing, you know, pushing some other sort of thing, you know, I'm looking at MCU, you know, that sort of thing where everything has to sort of interweave in. But I don't know. I think ultimately at the end of the day, Crisis Core Reunion doesn't have to be all that crazy stuff. Do I think that they're going to do stuff? I think it is highly likely that they're going to do stuff. But I don't think it has to, you know? Like, I think there's probably people out there that, like, oh, it absolutely has to do this. And it's like, it doesn't, though. It really doesn't. And it was sort of, I mean, I think also another reason as to why we sort of didn't really cover this game really prior to this was just because it did seem like it was like, oh, it's going to be the same game. And we already talked about it. So what else is there? But then it's like, the more time goes on, maybe there's going to be stuff. And like, I do think that you are correct in that if there is going to be any major stuff or any sort of teases for Rebirth or any other stuff, it absolutely would be a post-credits thing, you know?
Yeah, I think that's what they would have to save it for. And like, if they didn't want to play with things too much, showing us anything Genesis in between Crisis Core and Dirge isn't going to mess with anything, no. Honestly.
And it's
a blank slate.
It would
slate.
Only serve to make it better. You know,
yeah,
just like we talked about with Deep Ground. It's like, I feel like even if Deep Ground never shows up until the third game again, like if they don't get mentioned in Rebirth at all and we don't see anything from them, which I still think that, I do still think that Zach is going to be dealing with them more because it just makes more sense because they're more related to Genesis and, you know, whatever is going on with Zack in Remake would make a lot more sense for him to deal with that stuff and then eventually stumble his way onto what everyone else is doing. Because, you know, and we brought that up a little bit. I think that was subtext video, right, that we were talking about, the Deep Ground Zack thing theory that, you know, it would make the most sense narratively because it's not like, you know, if this is one timeline, then how is Zack going to end up where the party's at? You know, like what would logically bring him to that location or wherever they do eventually cross paths, where would that actually make the most sense? Right. And there's a lot of different things, but I think, you know, I wouldn't necessarily be too excited if Zach is coming back and then is like, basically shadowing the party and being like, oh, right, well, let me go here, like, after, you know, let me go to Calm after they just left, or, you know, all these things. I mean, I guess potentially it could be good, but I don't know. I like the idea that if they bring Zach back, they're going to have him do other stuff than just be like, hey, I'm other Cloud, basically, and I'm just gonna sort of, like, you know, I want him to have his own full arc after this, because why would you bring him back? You know, if not to have him have another, like, to basically continue his story in a way that is meaningful and makes sense. You know what I mean? And I feel like maybe I'm drifting a little too far away from Crisis Core, but I just don't think that there is a lot of stuff here that I feel like they could necessarily do, because I'm thinking about it realistically of, like, what they could show. And, you know, aside from what we were saying before about, you know, how he, you know, where, like, where did he put Cloud when he got back to Midgar, and, you know, him showing up to Aerith's church and all that stuff. And I think I think I know what I would want to see. I think I would want to see maybe him walking through Midgar and not have anything be too overt, and have it be things that, if you know, then, like, you know, give us little clues and hints, you know, is like, is this the same world? Is this the same timeline or whatever? And I know that, you know, you know, with Stampgate being a thing, and it's being like, well, that is clearly, you know, a different stamp, and that, you know, that thus, yeah, I mean, shit, that was my basis for that. It was a different timeline, or an alternate dimension or whatever multiverse thing, which I'm growing more weary of it being a multiverse thing, because that shit gets messy really quick. At least from what I've seen from other properties doing it, it's something that, like, can be really cool if it's done properly, but the margin of error is so large that I would be 10 times more afraid of things ending up badly in this new narrative if that was the case, you know? Because I do still have that little nagging thing in the back of my mind of, like, what if we get to the end of, you know, Remake Trilogy and it's bad, you know, or it's not what that, you know, like, the build up for it was better than the payoff, you know what I mean? But I don't know. I don't want to ramble too much on that stuff, because we have talked about that stuff ad nauseum, and we also still don't have any sort of idea what the fuck is going on. So it's, you know,
we'll just have to keep on waiting.
It's still a very open wound at this point. But I'm definitely, as far as Crisis Core is concerned, if you haven't played it, I highly recommend that you do when this comes out. And even if it doesn't do anything crazy, it will be worth your time. In pretty much every, you know, every aspect, I think. And if they improve the gameplay, then there's really, aside from maybe some narrative things here and there, I think that game is, I mean, for a time I even thought that I had liked it more than OG, which in retrospect sounds like a crazy fucking thing that I believe, but I did. Back when I played Crisis Core for the first time, I'm like, oh yeah, this is way better. But, you know, as I got older and experienced a bit more of life and things like that, I got more of an appreciation for OG and Crisis Core, and have them be like, all right, well, they're both just as good. And I mean, obviously, if you look back over the compilation material, and especially of all the compilation material that we've covered thus far, in terms of games, at least, is definitely the best.
I would agree.
And the only other thing that I feel like I would say at this point is, I hope if they don't do this with Dirge, Would love to see them do it to before Crysis, because goddamn, that game, if you want to talk about a game that suffered the most from the hardware that it was on, I mean, that was the running gag when we were covering that game. It's like, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, woof. It's rough. And I'm glad that Crisis Core is the one. Like, if they were going to do any of the games, I think Crisis Core makes the most sense. And I'm happy that it's coming, but I also wouldn't mind them revisiting the other compilation games. And, I mean, you know, we are going to see Ever Crisis. And then, well, actually, wait, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Because Ever Crisis, where my understanding of what Ever Crisis is supposed to be, is that that is supposed to be the thing that you refer back to see these original stories in all of their, you know, in how they originally were supposed to be, right?
Well, Ever Crisis is supposed to be like a highlight reel.
Right, so, and I mean, again, because unfortunately we still don't know too much about what that game is and how it's going to be, but I wonder if that would mean that maybe they would do, that would actually be like a kind of a hard confirmation of them changing stuff in Reunion. You know what I mean? Where it's like,
yeah,
it's, you know, because from what my understanding of what Ever Crisis is that that's going to be the thing that, like, if you want to know, you know, what the stories of these original games were, then this is where you're going to go to have like an updated, you know, retelling of this stuff. Yeah. But I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking a little too hard on it, and that I'm, because I keep going back and forth of like, do I want Crisis Core Reunion to be just a retelling of the story that we've already seen before, or do I want them to pull a remake, as we sort of posited at the beginning of this episode, of like,
right?
Are they gonna make? And again, not on the same level as remake, where they're going, you know, we're not going to have whole new, you know, characters and stuff introduced, you know, like, you know, the Wall Market crew or stuff like that. Like, I feel like, and I guess considering how, because I don't know how long they've been working on this game, but.
True.
I don't know if they had the time necessarily, like, considering the fact.
I think this is supposed to be a quick turnaround. If I'm being honest with you, yeah. I think they saw a remake was a success and just said, okay, go for it.
Yeah. And they're like, oh shit. Yeah. Now people care about Final Fantasy VII again. Let's capitalize on it.
Let's go.
I mean, cause if you think about it, this game was only announced a couple of months ago and then it's coming out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It definitely didn't seem like it was a guaranteed thing when this remake stuff started happening.
Right. Right, and I feel like they probably were gauging people's, maybe, oh, who knows? I don't know. I would love to know how much of all this stuff was planned, or they were just like, oh, we're kind of working on it, and, you know, we just wanted to release it because there hasn't been a way to play this game in, you know, 20 years. So, you know, it just have it be, and was always the thing that I scratched my head the most of, like, it seems like it's not like a dirge where I'm like, oh, I could totally see this game falling into the abyss and never coming back. But this game was, you know, pretty well regarded among the Final Fantasy VII community, and, you know, was something that seemed like always seemed like a no-brainer to me. But I mean, hey, remaking Final Fantasy VII was also a no-brainer to me of like,
oh yeah,
you know, I mean, Maximilian, you know, had said it best, you know, they hit the button. You know, so now they're hitting all the buttons, and that's what makes me think that, oh, maybe we will see Dirge a little bit, and that, well, maybe we'll at the very least get like a Vincent DLC that is probably going to be reminiscent of Dirge, and maybe they won't necessarily do a full ass like remaster or remake of that game, but, you know, probably. You know, the fact that they have kept Deep Ground in the story at all makes me feel like, oh, they actually, like they care about it. Like, they don't care that people pretty much unilaterally don't like Dirge of Cerberus and all the stuff therein. that, like, the fact that they could have easily just written those characters out of the story, because they were inconsequential at the end of the day. You know, like, they didn't really, it wasn't, you know, in terms of the greater narrative of Final Fantasy VII, it really, like, Deep Ground was just kind of there. You know, but the fact that they are now doubling down on them makes me sort of be like, oh, so, like, they really care about bringing the stuff and creating this whole new storyline that incorporates all this stuff, when they could have written out Genesis. They didn't have to. I mean, there's no necessarily hard confirmations that Genesis is going to appear as of yet, but I mean, considering everything that has happened, especially with this game coming out, and, you know, obviously wanting it to keep Zack fresh in our minds, but I think it's going to be our, you know, like, hey guys, remember Genesis? And remember how much a lot of people didn't like him back then? And I mean, I think I think Genesis has that problem, that same problem that Deep Ground had, of like, this guy's new, and he's not, even though he is like the main antagonist of this game, I really don't know much about him other than he likes Loveless and dumb apples, and that's it, you know? And, you know, I think, as far as any other stuff, I feel like I'm totally fine with it being just, here's Crisis Core, and it looks nicer, and it plays better, and that's it. And then leave mm-hmm. all the other heavier narrative stuff for Rebirth, and, you know, whatever, because, you know, we've only thus far had, you know, the Yuffie DLC. Like, I could totally foresee them just doing that more, to fill in more gaps and stuff. So, not saying that we'll get, like, a Genesis DLC, but, you know, obviously it'd be cool to get, like, a Vincent DLC, like we were saying. But there could also be more, you know, fuck, they can make a Cisne DLC. And I'd be okay with that. But you know what? Actually, you know what? I guess if I was to sort of put a cap on this discussion, the best part about this game coming out is that we get to see Cisne again. And also pretty much I feel like confirming that we'll see Cisne in Rebirth. Almost guaranteed.
That's the new one now. Cisne for Rebirth. That's our mantra.
Because if, you know, we're talking about all these other characters that are going to come back, and a character that would make the most sense, outside of Genesis coming back, would be Cisne, because there's really all the other characters that I would want to come back from Crisis Core are already in the game. So, you know, that being like Sung and Reno and, you know, the other Turks, yeah, I don't know. I keep going back and forth on how I want the whole
dude. I honestly, I admitted defeat at 45 minutes in, and I still haven't recovered. once I realized, oh shit, no, yeah. They got him. Oh, they got it.
Living Legacy. Yeah, Living Legacy is.
It just hit me. I'm like, no. I'm like, no, you have to show that scene. Yeah. In some way, shape, or form. Even if you make that the post-credit scene, there's like, meanwhile, in another time, or something. Like, whatever. Just, that scene has got to be shown.
But would it lessen the impact, though, if they... I mean, but then it would already be lessened if...
Look, here's the thing.
You know that where Zack ends up, you know?
This is Final Fantasy VII's biggest strength and biggest weakness. It's the same thing. And that's that they made a decision.
And that they...
And they're making this shit for the diehards.
Yeah.
So if don't think that them making a decision that confused normies is going to stop them. They threw that out the window in game one.
I mean, so, Deep Ground being in there is evidence to me that they don't give a fuck. And they're just like, no, we have a vision and we're seeing it through.
We're doing it.
Whatever it may bring.
Yeah.
Which, man, keep going back to the remake teaser trailer thing. Whatever, forgot the exact line, but, you know, whatever this reunion may bring, whether it be joy or fear, like, let us embrace whatever it brings, right? And I keep thinking of that line, especially with everything else that has come out since then, of being like, yeah, I mean, and that is pretty much our sort of mission statement, I think, from the very beginning of us doing this podcast, is that we're like, yeah, we're here for the ride, man. Whether it ends up,
oh yeah, baby,
you know, being the best thing ever, or if, you know, we fly off the rails at some point and wonder how the fuck we ended up here, you know, we're game. We're still game. At least for now.
Oh yeah.
But I don't know. I think I've rambled on enough about this game that we know everything about, but also know nothing about in the same way. Which is something that I never thought, a feeling that I ever thought I would have about anything, where I'm like, yeah, I know everything about this except for what it's going to do.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Aside from, I mean, I guess I don't know if there's any other stuff we could touch upon.
No, I think we've covered everything. I mean, we just gotta, unless we come up with any new theories, I feel like we've kind of touched on what could happen, what might. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm satisfied, and I can't wait for it to come out.
Yeah, I think that there is, there will be enough, like, and I don't think it's going to be a thing of, it's going to, like, yeah, I mean, I guess it'll help tide us over until Rebirth next year. You know, and fingers crossed that Rebirth actually comes out in 2023 and not 2024, but mm-hmm. You know, I think it doesn't, like, Reunion, it doesn't have to do any of this crazy stuff that we're thinking that it should do. You know? It's fine the way it is. It's beautiful the way it is. Because it has Cisne.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess, yeah, ultimately would love to see them maybe do some remake stuff and add some other context. You know, would love to see, hey, even Kunsel, make Kunsel like a real boy, even though he was the realest of boys. But yeah, another character that sort of, you know, unfortunately became sort of a footnote just because of the grander narrative of Crisis Core and being like, he's not as important as time goes on, but I don't know. But yeah,
we'll have to wait and see.
Playing through Zack's Last Stand is going to be, I think will be just as tough as it was for me back in the day.
Oh yeah.
But who knows?
And we'll be here to report on it once it happens.
Yeah, I don't know. We probably won't. Although I think it would be hilarious if we just covered the game again, chapter to chapter. That would be hilarious. If it does end up being the same, I think we probably will just, you know, once it comes out, we'll have like a, you know, hey.
Oh, yeah.
All those things that we said a couple months ago were right or wrong or somewhere in between. But I don't know. Anyways, I'm excited. I'm excited that this game's coming out and that it's coming out so soon. And yeah. I mean, unless there's anything else you'd like to add, Nick, I think I'm ready to shut up.
No, I'm hyped for it. I can't wait. Again, it's right around the corner and we'll be here to talk about it once it drops, man. I'm excited.
We're gonna, you know, we'll start harvesting our dumb apples and doing our cactar dances and making our little carts to sell flowers out of, so we can have a wallet full of cash. And yeah, I think with that said, Do you want to count us down this time?
I would love to. Are you ready?
I am always ready.
Let's do this. Three, two, one.
Oh, damn, I like that one.
Hell yeah. A
little flange on that one.